Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. Welcome to the Cy Brown Morning Show. We have a great show planned for you today. I am hanging out, well, you all are all hanging out with me and my girl, Miss Tasha LeRae, and she will be joining us to talk about her business, Ear Jeans. I mean, you have to check out her site. We're going to talk about all of that today, what made her start the company, where she's going with the company, what she wants to make happen, how she wants to see it grow. Check her out on Twitter. Tweet during the show. Show Miss Tasha some love. Her Twitter handle is at Ear Jeans. And many of you probably already know she is from the Grammy Award-winning group Arrested Development. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But today I really want to pick her brain about what it's like being a woman entrepreneur, a woman, a female entrepreneur, a woman in business. How do you make your business grow? How do you balance that with fame and just all about her travels and stuff like that? So we're going to have a super-duper show. If you miss any part of this, you can definitely check the show out in the archives on iTunes, Mixcloud, podcast.fm. So there's a lot of places. And you can always go to cybrown.com and we'll have the show on there. The chat room is open. So please check us out. And I want us to tweet and show Miss Tasha some love. So we're getting ready to bring her right on into the show. One last thing really quickly. Just want to thank everybody who tuned in yesterday when I had the awesome conversation with David Mezepel, who is the author of Contagious Optimism. He was a great guest, TEDx speaker. So check that show out in the archives. It's just talking about uplifting stories and motivational advice for positive forward thinking. So big shout out to David and his publicist who had him join us on the show yesterday. So without further delay, I am bringing in my girl, Miss Tasha. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good, girly. How are you?
I am well. I love that. I think I want to be a Southern girl for today. I love to listen to you talk.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you know I'm a big goofy girl.
Girl, and the funny thing is a friend of mine made a comment about my accent the other day. I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm not Southern. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have an accent. What? You know, so it's hilarious.
Yes, you do. And it's funny because, well, you know, I lived in Atlanta for a couple of years, and the minute I opened my mouth, people were like, you're from New York, aren't you? I'm like,
exactly.
How did you know? I don't think I could run from my New York accent if I tried.
No, I think that accent is pretty thick. Even if I were to try to go
is.
To New York, I don't think it would rub off on me. I don't think I could pull it off.
No, I don't. You know what, too? New York is a pretty straight-laced place. Your smile is too big for this place.
Oh, no. Well, thank you.
Just love having you.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
You know, I wanted to... When you and I, you know, are friends behind the scenes, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, just we share stories about being an entrepreneur, you know, just like any woman, you know, we're still a woman and we still have feelings. And, you know, we've shared some things about our business, how to start our business, how to grow our business. I want to jump right into you, your business, how it got started. You know, we have 30 minutes and I don't want to waste any second of it. Can you just...
Okay.
Talk to me a little bit about what I know what Ear Jeans is, but that's just
mm-hmm.
because I know you. But talk to the listeners about what Ear Jeans is and what made you get started.
Okay, well, Ear Jeans is basically a handmade fashion jewelry line that showcases designs made with different materials, a lot of non-traditional materials like fabric. I like to use like wine corks, pretty much anything that you can see in everyday to day life. I also do use metals and gemstones and beads, that type of thing, but I really love mixing it all together. And I mix all those items together to create very unique pieces that can speak to a person's personal characteristics. And the purpose behind it all was to kind of break away from the traditional sense of fashion and mass-produced items. I love jewelry, and before mm-hmm. starting my company, I would go searching the mall and department stores looking for special unique pieces, which was kind of funny because it was all mass produced. So even mm-hmm. though it might have been, you know, it wasn't like there was just a one of a kind piece, but I still looked for something that spoke to a piece of me, that was a piece of my mm-hmm. character or personality. And so that's what I started doing, but I got frustrated with the whole process because after a while, everything just kind of looked the same. And so mm-hmm. when I began singing and touring full-time in 2008, singing was my only income. And as many people or some people may or may not know, with music you can make a lot of money, but the shows can sometimes be so few and far between. If you make $3,000 on one show, that $3,000 might have to last you for 4 months before you get another show. And so all of a sudden that doesn't add up to be a whole lot of money, and so it leaves you looking for another stream of income. And I tried to find like work as a temporary associate, and temp mm-hmm. agencies didn't even take me seriously because they were like, okay, for the past 6 months you've been to four different countries and now you want a job. And then when I told them who I sang with, they're like, oh my gosh, they're singing all the songs and pulling all of their friends over. This girl sings with such and such, and I'm sitting here in the seat like, I'm trying to get a job. You know, so it didn't quite work out for me to jump back into the workforce. So I needed to create something for myself. And so naturally just making pieces for myself to start out and then getting a lot of compliments, that really sparked the idea to go ahead and start a jewelry business.
I'm the type of girl that will put on a big pair of silver hoops and call it a
mm-hmm.
day. You know, I've never really learned how to properly accessorize. But
mm-hmm.
even when I first saw your line, I'm like, these are the most original pieces, and I was taken aback just by the different fabrics and materials that you use. But before we actually get into just the ear jeans and then the marketing and you becoming the CEO, I want
mm-hmm.
to touch on one thing, and we don't have to spend too much time, but I want to touch on something.
Okay.
I need everybody to understand, just you said something very poignant that, you know, even though I'm in four countries, I'm touring, there still has to be something more because people kind of see what they want to see and they'll be like, wait, you're singing with this group and you're all over, you have to be rich. And
mm-hmm.
people don't understand that. They, you know, I'm not in four countries singing, but, you know, I take the train in the city sometimes, and they're like, Sai, what are you doing on the train? And I'm like, I'm still normal.
Right.
You know, like, I'm still normal. And I think people forget that. And even further with that, you need to have something for yourself, something
mm,
that
definitely.
It's great to be part of a group. But did you feel like, I need something for myself? This is just for me to take to the world. Did you ever feel like that?
Oh, definitely. That's part of the driving force for what kept me going, because I've been doing this since 2008, and it didn't start off as very, very successful. Like, it took 4 months before I even made my first sale online. And
wow.
that sale came from somebody that I had already sold jewelry to in person. So it took a while, and my family was a huge support when I started doing this, and they didn't even understand why I would sit in the very same spot at our dining room table, and I would continue to day in, day out for like 12 hours at a time, and I'm not exaggerating, and I would just sit and make jewelry, and I would sit and create and sit and dream, and that's all I did for 2 months solid, and every day they're walking up and down the stairs going out the door to their regular job, and they're like, okay, when are you going to look for a job, because you were late on your rent, and I covered it, but you got to pay me back. Like, it was that type of thing, and I had to fight the urge of wanting to stay in working, you know, the regular workforce to make money
mm-hmm.
so that I could keep paying my bills, but I knew I wasn't going to be 100% happy. And so they worked with me tremendously, and everything just worked out the way it did. I had no way of predicting any of this, but, you know, you just kind of learn how to juggle things. But it was really important for me to have something for myself because singing is my number one passion. And I always wanted to be able to have the option to perform when I wanted to. And so for me to own my time and to also own my finances to the point that there's
Jesus.
No cap or no limit on how much money that I can make, I didn't want that on myself. And so for me to have a business, that was very important to me.
I have chills because you don't understand what you're saying, how that resonates with me so much. My son, he would leave for school, and I would be in my jammies in my home office on the computer, and he would literally come home from school and give me the side eye, like, Ma, did you take a bath today? And I would look at him and be like, not yet. Because I would literally be in the exact same spot in my pink nightgown that he went to school. And people don't – I think you said it took you 4 months to make your first online sale. People, we need to understand, being an entrepreneur is not a get-rich-quick hustle. It's just not.
No,
it's not at all. It's just really not. I see we have some callers on the line, so if anybody wants to call in and speak with Ms. Tasha or just add a comment, if we have any women entrepreneurs – just click one on your line, and I'll pull you in. And then also, I see we have some people in the chat room also. So if you have any questions, just about women in business, entertainment, traveling, just hit us up in the chat room. And I'm going to keep on rolling with my questions. So now, Tasha, here you are. You have your first sale, and it's been a couple of months, and your first sale is say $25. That's still not enough. Did you say I wish.
Girl, it was $15, and I gave her free shipping.
Okay, oh, my God. So you probably netted about $8.75 off of that sale.
Exactly. And I had already spent probably about a good $800 investing in everything to get my business moving. So I was still in the red.
So now you're $800 in. Plus your bills are due, and you are jumping up and down, doing a Holy Ghost dance because you just made $10.
Yes.
So how do you keep going? Like, how do you keep going from that moment? Because the people around you don't understand what just happened. Like, your system, you just proved that your system does work. But you still,
exactly.
How do you keep going?
Well, this is my thing. The second that somebody online purchased a piece of jewelry that I thought looked cool, and they spent their money, which meant they thought it looked cool, I was like, that's it. I just need to show about 1 million more people all of my jewelry, and eventually more people will start to buy. And so that was my thing. So I began to continue creating stuff and to continue to explore the world of making jewelry, because before that I had no former training as far as how to make it. And so I started watching YouTube videos, and I would go to stores and examine how pieces were made. And then I even had a few of my friends who had broken pieces of jewelry, and they were like, can you fix this? And in fixing those pieces, I had to take them apart. But when I took them apart, I also saw how to put it back together. And so I just used all of that stuff to learn to make jewelry on my own terms and then add my spin to it. And so I continued to do it. And, thankfully, the gigs started coming back in. And so we were doing a lot more shows, and I was being a lot more proactive with my time. Because when you become an entrepreneur, your time is you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about your business. Like, there are no 9 to 5 hours where after a certain amount of time you just shut off and you stop thinking about your business. It's almost a 24-hour thing. Sometimes you even dream about this stuff. And so I was constantly doing that. And then my thought process was, okay, in order for me to continue to own my time, I have to, number one, know how to manage my finances to a T. Like, I had to become a master at managing my personal finances so that I can manage my business finances as well. And then also mastering my time so that I prioritize things and I do what's most important first. And so that was a process to learn how to do. It's something I'm still learning how to master every day. But I just continued to do that, and it just went from one thing to the next thing. And after about 2.5 years in, I did think, okay, I'm not making as much money as I thought. Now, don't get me wrong. Each month, my sales increased by 30%. And then when I started understanding social media more, I started getting onto that, getting on Facebook more. And then when Twitter popped up, I did Twitter. I tried the blog thing. I still have a blog, but it's suffering some. I need to put some more content up. But I just continued to learn. I didn't stop learning. And so I got involved in as many things as I possibly could, and then I allowed myself to grow and learn with my business, and I didn't rush myself. It's like whatever this business is going to do, it will do. I didn't want to put unnecessary pressure on it. And so I started finding other ways to bring in income so I could take the pressure off of my business. And so I started teaching voice lessons. I would sing in people's weddings. The group, we were doing more shows. And when we weren't on the road, I was planning my own shows to do some little side stuff where I'd go to a nightclub or something and sing for a few $100. Just whatever you could do. And then I got into product photography, and I would take pictures of my stuff, and then I would also take pictures of items. So you just started to learn other things that you're able to do and generate some side money to keep it going. But it was all of this is important for me to do because eventually I do want to get married and have kids, and I want my children to have options. I don't want them to think you can only go to school, go to college, graduate, and work for I want them to
my...
both sides. And if they decide to go into those fields, that's fine. But they did that having a fuller understanding of what is available for them in this world and how they can create the lifestyle that they want. That's important to me. And so it's worth all the sleepless nights and money lost and events that I can't go to because I don't have enough gas money and that type of stuff. That was a long-winded answer. I'm so sorry.
No, but that's what we need to hear. And I was going to say, my niece just graduated from college. I said this on the show yesterday. My niece just graduated from college like 2 weeks ago, and she doesn't have a job. And I encourage my children, go to college, go to college, go to college. This is what you have to do. You have to be a professional. And a lot of people don't have jobs right now. But even what you just said about you have to hustle. You know, my friend LaVon, she's always listening to the show. She's actually here with me today sitting behind me. So I probably hit her up
girl.
In the chat room. But Tasha said, hey, Vaughn. She waved. Well, when the show goes live, you'll be able to see us here together hosting the show. But, you know, yesterday I have a major book signing coming up next week, just as a sidebar. But the point is this. She and I, we did the show yesterday, went to a meeting, came back to my house, working on posters, working. And, like, we were here at my house until, like, 11 o'clock until, I dropped her off at home. And I came home and passed out. People don't see that part of being an entrepreneur. I don't know if they don't want to see it or they just think I'm a CEO and they go make business cards and they feel that that's it. This is hard work. And you started Ear Jeans in 2008 in between touring with Arrested Development, trying to grow your business, trying to go to jewelry stores and see how things were made. And it's like that's a testament to your dedication. And I started this show the same year just struggling, trying to find an audience. And you have to be willing to grind it out and be happy when you make your first $10 sale, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I was happy when I made my thousandth sale. It just, like, the excitement, it never goes away. And you keep pushing, and then when other people get behind you and they begin to encourage you, they continue to support you, they start to spread the word, all of that stuff is it's an affirmation that you are doing the right thing and what you're doing is making a difference. And you're not just doing your business just so you can pay your bills. Like, that's not the whole, that's not the motivation behind the whole thing. It's creating something that you can give to somebody else that's tangible, but it gives them benefits that are intangible and that far outweigh the price of that piece of jewelry. And it's something
that will
rest of their life. You know, and so that's the important thing. So it's like, yes, having a business, it's a point of purchase, it's a point of contact with somebody, but they're also gaining something else behind that product or service, and that's what's most valuable. And that's what keeps them there to be a faithful client or customer or advocate for what it is that you do. And that's always important because to just make something to sell to somebody else and you walk away with benefits but the other person doesn't get something, that's not a solid business transaction in my eyes.
No, I don't think it is. I definitely don't think it is because, you know, what happens, well, you know, just with any business, you have to start out, I believe, you know, and I've shared with my listeners, I've been self-employed since I was 22 years old, and I'm now 42. I've had some very, very fat years, and I've had some very, very lean years. You know, one of the years I barely made $5,000 in a whole year. Mm-hmm. And I just knew I have to be faithful and have faith in the talent that God gave me to press forward, no matter what it looked like on the outside, no matter what it seemed like. And I think the hardest part is sometimes trying to convince your family that you're not nuts. Like you mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, you're with your family and they're going to work in the morning and you're there doing what you have to do and they come back and you're in the same place. Sometimes it takes a lot of convincing for them as well to understand that you're not nuts, that this is something that you, this is a gift that you really have, whether you end up making money or not in the beginning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for them, like, they wanted the best for me. They wanted to see me happy, but they wanted it by their standards of what they measured happiness and all that stuff was. So they wanted me to be able to take care of my bills, and the way that they saw it was me getting a job. But they did have faith in me singing, and they did even have a little bit of faith in me being a business owner. They were questioning whether or not I was going to stick with it, because I did have a habit of starting stuff and then talking myself out of it. But seeing me stick with this all these years, they are the number one support system that I have for this business, and they are so proud of where it's grown to, because they remember from the very, very beginning. And so they're glad that I stuck with it, and it was hard. It was very hard. I mean, there were times that I was crying because I even started to question whether or not I was crazy for continuing to do this. And I was thinking, wear fabric earrings. Who really wants to do that? Like, I just I had all these ideas, but I'm like, you know what? There are so many people in the world, and there are so many events that they can go to and things that they can do that wearing these pieces could – it could be a conversation starter, and it might be the conversation that leads that person to a lifestyle or something that they've been wanting and didn't know even know how to enter into. There's really no telling what this jewelry can do, and it's not about the piece. It's just about the confidence and how you feel when you put it on, and all of
that. Yeah, I think earrings. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue talking.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think, you know, earrings, I think they're really intimate. And, you know, just the fact that you can create an entire brand. I want to talk really quickly before we run out of time about your logo. You know, I shared, I just will put a pair of hoop earrings in and walk out the door. And now I even feel a little bit, I don't know, when I turned 40, my whole confidence level changed. Like, I'm ready to really go over the top. But, you know, be more creative with the earrings that I would even wear. But when I looked at your logo, this is something I saw, a black woman with an afro with these banging earrings. What was your thought process even behind creating your logo?
Well, with this logo, I wanted to make something. First of all, I wanted everything with my company to be handmade. And so this logo, I literally sketched myself. And
are you serious?
I did. When I was a kid, the first thing I ever wanted to do was be a cartoonist. So so I sketched it, but it was always with a pencil or a pen. I didn't add any of the color and all that type of stuff. But with the logo, it symbolized, like, at the time, I had an afro. So this is it's basically me, but I think she looks a little bit prettier, but it's all good. But it's basically me, but I have these earrings on, and it's just, to me, it says a woman that is at peace with who she is, flaws and all, and who is determined to live the lifestyle that she desires to live. And she is encouraging other people that she touches throughout this entire world, whether it be through music, through jewelry, through a conversation, through a smile, through whatever. She is encouraging those people to do the exact same thing. That's absolutely it. And so for me, looking at it, it's like self-acceptance. And I'm very, very proud of it. But I wanted, you know, I wanted to make sure that my company had a real presence and that it was something that would be taken seriously and not just as a side hobby. And so I contacted an illustrator that I have so much respect for, and I asked him to take the logo that I had drawn and turn it into a real brand. Like, I really wanted it to pop. And so he did this. It was absolutely brilliant, and I love it dearly.
I love your logo. I love it, and it speaks to me. Just as a woman of color, you know, I want to support businesses, you know, for women of color. Just, you know, not to say I wouldn't support other businesses, but I think we just have a different take, and particularly when someone is taking our heritage and who we are, it just adds a different layer. I have a caller on the line from 718. Caller, did you have a question for Tasha, or did you want to make a comment?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yes, this is Councilman Charles Barron. I was told to call in about the Juneteenth program, but I'll wait till you finish.
Oh.
And I'll call
hi,
back
Council.
When you're finished. But keep up the great work, sisters.
Well,
we need to
you.
Get as much business in our community as we can. As a matter of fact, we need more contracts coming from government to give black women and women and minority businesses more of those contracts. So you keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Thank
this
you.
This is New York City Councilman Charles Barron on the line. This is amazing. Councilman, thank you. And I'll definitely call your office as soon as we get off the air.
Okay. And keep up the good work. We're very, very proud of you.
Thank you. Tasha, do you know that was New York City Councilman Charles Barron? My show is just so dope. We just had a New York City Councilman call you and say, keep up the good work.
Yes, he did. That is awesome. Oh,
and
my
you
God.
Said we need Look, I'm smiling from ear to ear just as you are. So, I mean, it could be anything on this show. It could be anybody.
Right.
Look, here we are thinking you're the superstar. We have a New York City politician calling into the show. But that's what's up. That's what makes this show special, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, listen, my darling, we're almost down to the end of the show. Please share with everybody how they can find you so I can put it in the chat room.
Okay, well, you can reach me through my website at www.earjeans, and it's spelled earjeans.com. And I'm also on Facebook under the same name, so you can go facebook.com/earjeans and Twitter as well. That's how you can reach me.
But I think it's so cool, too. A lot of times people copy other people's style or their swag. Just the fact that you named your company Ear Jeans and it was available across all forms of social media, it just makes it so much easier for people to find you.
That's very important, too, especially when you're running a business and you want it to be global. Like the world, everything in business is global. And so, you know, that's very important.
Awesome. Tasha, I'm getting ready to go online right now, order a pair of earrings. I got to go through your site because there's so many different styles, but I'm going to order a pair today. And I just want to say thank you, my love, and thank you for calling into the show and supporting the show as well. So you have to let us know when Arrested Development comes back into the New York City area. Hit me up so we can hang out and do some lunch or something.
That is a deal, girl, yes. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a true pleasure.
Oh, awesome. Everybody, thank you so much for listening today. I mean, we even had a New York City Councilman call into the show, so that's what's up right here on the Sideground Morning Show. Councilman Charles Barron will actually be calling in next Wednesday, June 19th, in honor of Juneteenth, which is widely recognized as the Emancipation Day for Blacks out of slavery. So now you get a peek of coming on the show next week. We got some heavy hitters this season. We have some real heavy hitters coming onto the show. Tasha today, Councilman next week. So I'm doing a lot of work. I want to bring you guys some good shows and good programming. We also have a show coming up about water and what's happening with our water and how our water is being filtered. I have another show. You know, I don't even want to tell you. You guys just have to wait and see. But anyway, big shout out to everybody who joined us, TGL, L in the chat room. Thank you so much, and all the other people that called in today. So thank you so much for hanging out with me right here on the Cy Brown Morning Show. And always remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. And if you miss any portion of the live show, you can catch the podcast on my blog, cybrown.com. You can also log on to Mixcloud, SoundCloud, iTunes, and a lot of other the podcast players, so you can catch the show in its entirety. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.